This morning's passage continues in Luke chapter 2, verse 8. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them and into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Now we got it. User error. I had it off. So, all right, let's pray, shall we? Father, we praise you this morning for your enduring love. What we just sang about literally never ends. It is something that never fails. It never runs out. It never falls short. It is measureless. It is bottomless. It is limitless. It is boundless. It cannot be contained. And it's the reason we're gathered here today. Father, your love has called us out of darkness into marvelous light. Your love has called us out of despair and into a living hope. Your love has called us out of brokenness and made us whole. And so, Father, we come to say thank you. We come to say thank you because our Savior's love endures, and it endures forever. And it's in his mighty and matchless name that we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Awesome. Well, good morning, Pepsi family. Merry Christmas to you, and Merry Christmas to you if you're joining us online as well. If you're new with us, a special welcome to you. My name is Doug Ressler. I have the privilege of being one of the pastors here, and we just want to welcome you in the name of Jesus Christ. As well, we also want you to make sure that you get one of these ornaments that we have been delivering. We started this week. I think Will told me that we've got over 900 delivered so far. We're going to probably end up delivering around 14 or 1500. So if you want one of these, we'd encourage you to go ahead and shoot us an email at info@pepsi.org, and we'll make sure you get on that list. We've loved seeing so many of you come and help us with that, grabbing the gifts and the lists and taking them out and getting them delivered all over Parker and all over town. It is awesome just to be able to spread the joy of Christmas a little bit this year. And I've heard from a lot of folks who've received those ornaments, and they have talked about just how good it is to see a face and to hear a voice and to have someone tell them Merry Christmas. So great job, Pepsi. We know this year's hard. We know it's a year really like no other, and it's a year that we hopefully never will repeat again. And you know, we're just got to make it through inch by inch, day by day, week by week, right? And sometimes life is like that. And I think probably all of us have had experiences in our lives over the years, probably we can point to, think back to, where that was life for us. We just kind of took it day by day because that's all we could do. I remember back when I flunked out of college, I remember getting that letter and it, you know, telling me, you know, you're not invited back, basically. My business professors had had enough. My academic dean had had enough. CU had had enough of all things, right? And here I was, and I was out, and I didn't know what I was going to do. And I'd been lying to my parents the whole time, so I knew I couldn't go back home. I was too ashamed. Been lying to my friends, telling them that I was doing well when I wasn't. And so I had no one to turn to, no one to lean on. And I was just pretending. I told everybody I was going to take a year off. And so I got a minimum wage job at Barnes & Noble Bookstore that year, stayed up in Boulder, and I barely had enough to eat. I barely made enough money to cover things, ramen noodles, Campbell's soup. To this day, I cannot stand the smell of a microwave hot dog. All right? I mean, that was basically what I lived on all year long. I was living on the edge, paycheck to paycheck, going deeper and deeper into debt. I'd walk a couple miles to work just to get there, and then a couple miles on home, and didn't have a car, couldn't afford a bus pass even. And yes, it was uphill both ways, or at least it felt that way, right? And I did that in the heat and in the rain and in the snow. It didn't matter. I felt stuck, like life was on a treadmill. Anybody relate to that? You know, yeah, I mean, it's not easy. But little did I know that the Lord had me right where He wanted me. And He was working on me, and He was breaking me down, and He was humbling me, and He was bringing me to this point where I would willingly surrender my life into His hands. You see, I'd become a Christian, but I was learning through this process what it meant to actually follow Jesus. All right? What it meant to actually follow Jesus. And just to give you a sense of where I was spiritually, how far maybe I've come since those days, one of my first accountability points with the men's Bible study I attended was I asked them to hold them accountable to me only drinking one beer an hour at the parties I would go to. And I screw that up like every week. I'd come in and be like, oh, I failed again and got all drunk. I mean, that was the mess that I was in. And God was asking me again to surrender that to Him and to let Him go to work. And so, you know, I was, again, struggling, and I was looking for a sign. I was desperate for a change. And like a lot of, you know, I think like a lot of us at times, we're asking God for these signs. Where are you in the midst of all of this? And that's what I was doing. And I wanted a sign that life might be going somewhere, that there was, that God wasn't through with me yet, that there was hope. And then I saw this cute redhead on campus, and I asked around to a few people who knew her. It turned out she was always dating, so I began praying again in my spiritual immaturity at the time. I asked the Lord to break up all of her relationships so I could have a chance. That's how desperate I was for a sign. And here's the crazy thing. She did actually break up with her boyfriend of over a year, and we started dating the next week, and I became her permanent rebound man. Thanks be to God, right? It's kind of a silly example, I know, but it I think illustrates on some level something that we can all relate to, and that is this desire we have for a sign, something tangible in our lives that tells us God is present, God is there, God is listening. And you know what? The Jewish people living in the first century were also looking for a sign. They were no different than us. The shepherds keeping watch in their fields by night wanted a sign. Mary and Joseph wanted a sign. Heck, even the angels in heaven were looking for a sign. Why? Because as Pastor Matt shared with us last week, they could look back throughout their history and they could see these different places, these different moments where God had actually shown up, had given them a sign. Sign that is promises were sure that He was still there, that they were not forgotten, that He was not done with them yet. You think of Noah. Noah had his rainbow, right? A sign that God would never again flood the earth. Abraham and Sarah had Isaac, their son, a sign that God would deliver on His promises to give them descendants as many as the stars in the sky. Israel got their signs at the Red Sea and in the wilderness and once they entered the promised land. All of these signs were given by God to His people to remind them of His presence, of His great faithfulness. Again, a sign that He was not through, He was not finished. And that's why the shepherds responded that first Christmas night to the angelic announcement with such wonder and awe. You know, the birth of a child, of course, is always a cause for celebration, but this child was different. This child was yet another sign from God. In fact, He was the ultimate sign, the sign that God had promised way back in the days of Isaiah, one of Israel's greatest prophets, the prophet who foretold the coming of the Messiah, said He would be born of a virgin. Said His name would be Emmanuel, which means God with us, and His birth would signal the defeat of God's enemies once and for all. Fear not, right? That's what the angel said. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you, the sign that all of that has now happened. All that God has promised has now come to pass. This will be the sign. You'll find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. Friends, Jesus is the sign of signs, the sign from God that he will never let his creation go, the sign from God that he'll never let his people go. He'll never let you go. He'll never let me go. Jesus is the sign that God's plan of salvation can never be stopped. It can never be defeated. It can never be frustrated. Jesus is the sign that God's grace is more powerful than sin, that God's mercy prevails over his judgment, that God's love is more potent than anything the evil one or this world can throw at it. And this is why Christmas is such good news. It's why it comes with such joy. Jesus is no ordinary child. He is the Savior. He is Christ. He is the Lord. Amen? Come on. Amen? Thank you. Okay, let's get a little Christmas joy going here. Act a little excited, right? Now, if the shepherds had any doubts, the appearance of the heavenly choir surely would put those to rest, right? I mean, the angels appear out of nowhere in the heavens and they are singing. First Peter says that God's plan of salvation is so glorious, so incredible, so amazing that even the angels long to look in to see what God has done. I imagine Gabriel jumped at the news to deliver this news to Mary, right? Wanted to do that, wanted to be part of it. I imagine he couldn't stop the other angels from showing up that night when he brought the good news to the shepherds. The same angels who sang at creation now sing as the Creator takes on human flesh. They sing at the mystery and the wonder of it all. They declare God's praise and glory at the miracle of Christ's birth. And I imagine the hills must have come alive with the music, right? Imagine their appearance lit up the night. I imagine their voices sort of resounded for miles and miles. I imagine the shepherds lying there just spellbound at what they have heard. Now, I don't know about you. I have heard some great choirs in my time. My mom's a music teacher. I love how voices blend together and make beautiful music, but I imagine nothing on earth could hold a candle to the music that was made that night when the angels of heaven gathered to sing on the night of Christ's birth. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. Now, I imagine there was more verses than just that one, right? It's not like they do in, you know, singing today where we sing verses over and over and over again, like just as I am 17 million times, right, until you respond. I imagine there were more verses than that. Like the old hymn says, could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. And the scroll could not contain the whole, though it stretched from sky to sky. When you think about it for a minute, right? I mean, the same angels who have literally been singing since the dawn of creation still have not plumbed the depths of God's love. The same angels who have sung for millennia after millennia after millennia have never reached the end of the score. The same angels who will sing forever, the Bible says, will never reach the end of their song. Why? Because there is no end to God. There is no end to God, friends. Words will fail before God does. Languages will break down before they even begin to scratch the surface of his character and his nature and his glory. You will take all the words ever spoken, every letter from every alphabet human beings have ever devised, and you cannot begin to put them together in a way that encapsulates God. It's how great God is. His greatness and his goodness and his graciousness is beyond our wildest imaginations. His love and mercy and compassion defy human description. His righteousness and holiness and purity are beyond compare. And that is why the angels sing. There really is no other response to the miracle God has wrought in Jesus Christ but praise. They look down at that baby wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in that manger, Mary and Joseph sleeping with the animals in the front of the house because the guest room is filled. Such a lowly birth, such a humble birth, such a peasant's birth. I mean, they must have marveled at this idea that God did not come in a palace. He wasn't born in Rome in the emperor's room or anything like that. No, he's born to this peasant couple in this backwater town, in this backwater province that nobody has ever heard of. and yet he is Christ the Lord. Reminds me of what Paul says in Philippians 2, right? That Christ gave up all of his glory and humbled himself, becoming a servant, even serving unto death, death on a cross. It's the most amazing thing that God would do this for us. And humanity, of course, I mean, they all were there gathered around the manger, and all they could see was the outward appearance. But the angels, of course, knew so much more. They know this is the Son of God. They know he is the second person of the Trinity. They know he's the Word of God, now made flesh and making his dwelling among us. They've seen him speak creation into existence. They've seen him weep over humanity's sin. They've seen him drown the earth in judgment, seen him reach out to restore a relationship with the creature he made in his image. They have seen him, watched him patiently endure as he sent prophet after prophet after prophet to try and call his people back home. And now in the fullness of time, they watch in amazement as the Son of God stands up from his throne, leaves his Father's presence, leaves the throne room of heaven, comes to the far country where us prodigals have gone in our sin, and he comes to reclaim his own. He will leave it to nobody else. All right, he does this job himself, and he comes to bring peace, friends, wholeness, what the Bible calls shalom, something we can only experience in his presence and through a saving relationship with him. And again, that's why Christmas is such good news. In Christ, God has made a way where there is no other way. He has bridged the gap between us. He has torn down every dividing wall of hostility that separates us, that keeps us apart. He has broken down every barrier that might get in the way, all so that we might join the angels in their song. Amen? Yeah. After the angels faded from view and the strains of their song stop echoing through the hills, the shepherds look at each other and they know exactly what they had to do. God had given them a sign. The angels had sung them a song, and now they've got to go and see for themselves the Savior who had been born. And I love how Luke says they went in haste. This was no leisurely stroll. This was no brisk walk, not even a walk or a jog. No, these guys ran to see what happened. Of course they did. You know, whenever God begins to move, you run as fast as you can to join him. There is no better place to be, friends. I mean, the shepherds couldn't wait. The news was too good to tell. And so they ran to the manger. They ran to tell Mary and Joseph all that they had heard. They ran to meet Jesus, to see this sign for themselves, to gaze upon him in wonder and in awe. And perhaps they even hummed a few bars of the angel's tune when they got there. I don't know. And then they returned, the Bible says, glorifying and praising God for all they had seen. I am sure word spread all over the area that night. I'm sure the shepherds told everybody they met about all they had experienced. I'm sure they were changed, transformed, never again to be the same. How do I know all of that? I mean, after all, the Bible doesn't tell us what happens to them, doesn't tell us where they go from here. They simply fade from the story, never to be heard from again. Well, the reason I know all this happened, friends, is because I have met Jesus too. And he changed me. And he took this arrogant fool on the campus of the University of Colorado and made him a new creation. He took the rubble of my life and he built something beautiful out of it. And now you can't keep me from him. You can't keep me from being a part of what he's doing in the world. You know, I get why the shepherds went with haste to see Christ. It's how I feel every time I go to places like Africa. I move with haste aboard the plane. I get antsy on the plane ride over. It could be because my bottom hurts as well, because sitting in those seats is, you know, it hurts, okay? I can barely hold it together as we load up those Land Rovers and drive out to these villages where the name of Jesus has literally never been heard. And we see these churches springing up. It's the most amazing thing to be there in the presence of the Holy Spirit as he moves powerfully among his people. There's nothing quite like it. You know, a few weeks back, we had a virtual board meeting for the Petros Network, one of these ministries that we support here at Pepsi. And Doug Boone and I have the pleasure of, you know, serving on that board. And though we've not been able to go over there since last fall due to the COVID concerns, the church planters that we support haven't missed a beat. In the last year, since COVID, they have planted 157 more churches. Isn't that amazing? Yes. In unreached villages, again, where the name of Jesus has never been known, over 16,000 people have come to know Jesus Christ, and over 3,000 have been baptized. And in addition to that, that medical clinic that we've been working on for years in Gojo, I mean, going back now 8, 9 years, they have treated 3,747 patients in the last 6 months. We now have 8 staff working there, a doctor, a nurse, a lab tech, an administrator, some others, all in an area that had little to no health care before the gospel arrived. And these new churches were planted. It's nothing short of miraculous, friends. And it's why, God willing, I'll be going back again this spring and enduring the pain of the plane ride and 30 hours of travel, right? Because I want to be a part of what God is doing in Ethiopia and Uganda and in those refugee camps on the border of South Sudan. But here's the thing. You don't have to go across the ocean to get involved in what God is doing, right? Each one of you should be involved in what God is doing and whatever it is that you are doing. You could be a teacher. You could be a physician. You could be a nurse. You could be a first responder, a police officer. You could be a business person. Whatever it is that you are called to do, whatever it is that you are doing right now in your life, Christ is with you. And you have the opportunity to share Christ, to be a part of what he's doing in this world. I have literally, friends, bounced out of bed every morning in the 11 years I have been your pastor. We celebrated like an anniversary this week. It's crazy, right? 11 years. For some of you, you're like, yeah, it's felt like a whole lot longer than that. That's okay, all right? I'm just telling you, I have literally bounced out of bed because I love what God is doing in and through our church family. I just love being part of it. Right, I move with haste because the mission to reach our community, Parker, Colorado, with the good news of the gospel has never been more urgent, friends. Right? People are dying in greater numbers, whether from COVID or suicide or drug overdose or other causes. The needs in our community have never been greater, which is, you know, whether you're talking about businesses that are closing or schools that are struggling or the overwhelming needs of those who are suffering financially, emotionally, relationally, and mental health crises. It's like we're, you know, it's why we're so engaged, friends. It's why we are in the schools. It's why we work with the Chamber of Commerce on Parker Days. It is why we love our partnership with organizations like the Parker Task Force or the Denver Rescue Mission. It is why we launched Douglas County Christian Counseling, which, oh, by the way, went official December 1st. Go ahead and wave, Darren. Wave to everybody. All right, you know, come on. Stand up and wave, all right? Stand up and wave. Darren's our executive director, as you know, right? And they're official now. They're moving to help people who are in crisis in the name of Jesus. Why do we do all of this? Because we want everybody to know what we have found. We want to tell them all that we've seen and heard, just like the shepherds did for Mary and Joseph and all who were there that first Christmas night. More than anything else, we want our community to know who we know, Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, and we want them to come to saving faith in him so that they too might experience the joy and peace this season and find their rest in his enduring love. Amen? That's the call of the gospel, friends. That is the good news of Christmas. That is why we celebrate every single year. So let me ask the worship team to come back up. And you might be saying to yourself, well, oh, that sounds awesome. Like, how does that actually happen? How does everything you just talked about actually take place? Well, the Apostle Paul asks some of these same questions to his friends in Rome. Listen to what he says in Romans chapter 10, verses 14 and 15. He says this, how will they, meaning the unbelievers, the pagans, the lost people, how will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? Well, friends, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ and you are listening online this morning, you're here with us this morning, you are called, you are being sent to preach the gospel. That is your call. That's not just my call as a preacher. That is your call as well. That is the call of every Christian. You are called to proclaim the good news, not just with your life. Don't use that old saying as an excuse. Preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words. Because it is always necessary, friends, to use words. It is always necessary, friends, to tell people why you live the way that you do, why you love the way that you do, why you believe the way that you do. It is always necessary for you to share with others what Christ has done for you. It's always necessary for you to tell the good news of a God who loves the world so very much that he gave his only beloved Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Friends, you couldn't stop the angels from sharing the good news that first Christmas. You couldn't stop the shepherds from rushing over to share the good news and glorify and praise God for all he had done. You can't stop the church planters over in Ethiopia from planting new churches in villages where the name of Jesus has never been heard. So what in the world is stopping you? And what in the world is stopping me from simply going across the street and letting people know that Jesus loves them? Taking an ornament and telling someone, Merry Christmas. May the peace of Christ be with you. Friends, we live in a world that is full of all kinds of fear. We all know this, especially this year. There's fears around the virus. There is fears of what's going to happen to our businesses, what's going to happen to our children, what's going to happen to our marriages, what's going to happen to our vulnerable family members, fears over the political and social and cultural changes that are taking place. And this year, perhaps more than any other, it is tempting to give in to that fear. It is tempting to let the anxieties of this season that we're in overwhelm us, tempting to let our struggles consume us. And it's why we need to hear the good news of Christmas. Yet again, fear not. Fear not, for behold, I bring you great news of a great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign that everything I've promised, God says, is now come to pass. You'll find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. Friends, this Christmas, I pray you will trust the sign. I pray you'll sing the song. Most importantly, I pray you'll embrace the Savior and then go out and tell others to do the same. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we give you thanks. What a joyful thing that you have entrusted into our hands. What a precious thing you've entrusted into our hands. The precious gift of the gospel, the treasure, God, given to these jars of clay that represent our lives. God, you call us to go forth and through the brokenness and the cracks and the weariness and the struggles and the heartbreak in the midst of it all, God, you call us to share with others why we have a hope that transcends this life. Why we have a hope that transcends our circumstances. Why we can smile in the midst of difficulty, God. We are called forth to go and to share this good news that Jesus Christ is born. The Messiah has come. The Savior has entered the world. Our Lord has come for us. Father, we give you thanks for this. Send us out now in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Let's stand and sing our final song, friends.